Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for you for Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. Beginning with the commercial news. From the front page, we have an article entitled Coroner Identifies Two Men Killed Saturday. Danville. Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden released the names of the two men who were killed in an early morning shooting Saturday outside the Untouchables Motorcycle Club. Both Albert L. Gardner, Jr., 23, of Danville, and Taji S. McGill, 17, of Danville, succumbed to their injuries, McFadden said in a release. An autopsy was performed on both men Saturday, and results are pending. Danville police continue to search for Deontay N. Bright, 18, of Danville, in connection with the two deaths. Director of Public Safety Larry Thomason said Saturday a warrant has been issued for Bright's arrest. Police were called to the area of the Untouchables Motorcycle Club, 106 Commercial Street, at about 2 a.m. Saturday after reports of shots fired. Police found three men shot on the grounds of the club, Thomason said. Gardner and McGill were later pronounced deceased, and a third man was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. The warrant, with a $5 million 10% bond, was issued, Thomason said in Saturday's release. The Danville Police Department and the Vermilion County Coroner's Office continue to investigate the incident. If anyone has information about this or other crimes, they are encouraged to call the Danville Police or Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. Our next story comes from the Tribune News Service and is entitled Illinois to Fund Medicaid Dental Services for Adults by Dean Olson. Almost half a million low-income Illinoisans will soon be able to receive periodic exams and teeth cleanings while paying at most a few dollars out of pocket. That's because preventative dental services for adults has been added to the state's Medicaid program as a covered service for the first time. The addition was part of a bipartisan agreement on the fiscal 2019 state budget that was signed into law recently by Governor Bruce Rauner. The dental coverage expansion is expected to cost the state an additional $8 to $12 million per year, half of which will be reimbursed by the federal government. The idea is to get the care earlier when it is cheaper, said Greg Johnson, executive director of the Illinois State Dental Society. Most of the 1.7 million adults in the state's Medicaid program already get coverage for preventative dental services through managed care organizations, or MCOs. The MCOs have voluntarily paid dental offices for preventative services such as cleanings and sealants, but haven't been specifically reimbursed for those services, Johnson said. MCOs will receive reimbursement for preventative dental care going forward, but the legislation will have the biggest immediate impact on the 450,000 adult Medicaid recipients who aren't in managed care, Johnson said. These adults are in the traditional fee-for-service Medicaid program. For them, preventive dental services were treated as uncovered. As a result, they have had to pay much more than $3.90, the current Medicaid copayment, when applicable, for cleanings and checkups, Johnson said. Many adult Medicaid patients in the fee-for-service program avoid preventive care altogether, leading to tooth decay and other problems that necessitate fillings and extractions, services that the state's Medicaid program does cover, he said. Preventive dental services for children on Medicaid already are funded by the state. The expected savings incurred by avoiding or delaying costly restorative services for adults, not to mention the ability to avoid emergency room visits for adults with dental pain, will more than offset the new cost for preventive services, according to State Representative Greg Harris, Democrat from Chicago. Preventive dental services for adults will be reimbursed to participating dental offices at the same boosted levels as the rates previously required for children's preventive services under a 2005 consent decree in the Memesovsky v. Merrim court case. These higher rates could persuade more Illinois dentists to accept Medicaid payments, Johnson said. About 2,800 of the state's 9,000 regularly practicing dentists participate in the Medicaid program, he said. Dr. Mary Margaret Looker, director of the dental program at Central Counties Health Centers, said the expanded Medicaid coverage will have a great impact on CCHC's adult patients and will keep CCHC's 6 dentists and 4 dental hygienists even busier. Central Counties is a federally subsidized organization based at 2239 East Cook Street, Springfield, where 70% of patients are enrolled in Medicaid. Even though dental care for uncovered services costs CCHC patients about $25 or $30 per visit, a modest fee compared with private dental offices, the charge is enough to discourage many adults from seeking care, Looker said. Now that preventive services are going to be covered, there will be one less hurdle for patient care, she said. Having the adult preventive services will also address problems early and save money in the long run. This also may increase compliance from the entire family. Adults and their children can come together for their routine dental checkups. Amy Brewer, office manager at Optum Dental at 907 South 6th Street in Springfield, where 85% of the patients on Medicaid had a similar reaction to the expanded coverage that is expected to take effect later this year. This is a fantastic thing that they're going to cover cleanings, Brewer said. Optum already charges a reduced out-of-pocket rate for cleanings, $89. Cleanings from other private dental offices can cost $100 to $200. A lot of patients want to get preventive care, but they can't, Brewer said. Our next story is entitled Splash, Pool, Spray Parks See Large Crowds by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Due to crowds, but also newer lifeguards, Garfield Park Swimming Pool closed for a few hours opening weekend when the crowd reached more than 600 people at one point. Since then, with people trying to beat the heat, crowds at the pool averaged 300 people daily. We had a 600 day. That's not the highest that we've had, said Cindy Parson, Danville Superintendent of Recreation and Parks Maintenance. Parson said the opening weekend for the pool, when it's nice, hot weather, usually sees a huge crowd. She said they closed the gates when they had about 616 people until some pool goers left. She said with the pool deck, the pool can have about 1,200 people. Due to the newer, more inexperienced lifeguards working, Parson said they were being cautious. Safety is always our number one concern, she said. She said there are other variables when making decisions about the pool. Parson said on very hot days, such as Monday, extra lifeguards are on duty, so there's more of a rotation and break for them because of the heat. The games at the pool also have been popular this year. Parson said a lot of people have been playing with Big Connect 4 game, a tetherball pole, jump ropes, and ring toss games. Crowds also have continued to visit the spray park at Winter Park. It just gets slammed all the time, Parson said. It starts at 10 a.m. when the water goes on. It's a good feature. The city doesn't rent out the pavilions there as part of the contract the city has with Ambucks. Families continue to have birthday and other parties there. A new piece of playground equipment also has been in use at Winter Park. The Danville chapter of Ambucks purchased a Little Tykes Revolution Inclusive Spinner. The spinner replaced the sand play area at the Ambucks Playground for Everyone at Winter Park. Due to the heavy usage of equipment at Winter Park, it has an afternoon monitor on weekdays, Monday through Thursday. The city is trying to find another monitor for the park from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We just can't find the right person, Parson said. The monitor has to be local and willing to interact with the public. The park, unfortunately, sees regular vandalism, Parson said. They talk about park patrols. The activity we have in our parks is different nowadays, she said. such as about groups and people listening to loud music. She said the question, however, becomes where the city finds funding and wouldn't have to use the police force so much. And our last story from the front page, Vietnam-era veteran relives military days, by Mary Wyckoff. Danville. Roy Huxholt's biggest regret is that he didn't stay in the service. I was a good Marine, said Huxholt, who enlisted in the Marine Corps at 17. He served from February 1960 to November 1963, serving under three presidents, Dwight Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, and 3 days under Lyndon Johnson. Except for 9 months in Japan, he was stationed in the United States. Huxholt, 75, revisited those military days last month when he took a Land of Lincoln honor flight to Washington, D.C., along with 84 other veterans from central and mid-southern Illinois. Huxholt traveled with Thomas Church of Danville, who served with the Marines during the Vietnam War era. Both shared a guardian, Jim Riggs of St. Joseph, who helped keep the veterans on track. Vietnam War veteran Michael Cundiff of Oakwood, also who served in the Army, also was on the flight. The veterans on the trip included two who served in World War II, 17 in the Korean War, and 66 from the Vietnam era. They visited the war memorials, as well as Arlington National Cemetery for the Changing of the Guard ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknowns. Other stops included the Lincoln Memorial, the National Air and Space Museum, the U.S. Air Force Memorial, the U.S. Navy Plaza, and the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial. During mail call on the way home, each veteran received a bag of letters and cards from children, relatives, and even strangers. Rich Darby, Chief Operations Officer at Sunset Funeral Home, wrote a letter to Huxholt complimenting him for his role with the American Legion Post 210 Honor Guard. I have personally experienced his dedication to our country with the Honor Guard, said Darby, founder of the Operation Honor Guard, to raise money to outfit the members. He served our country as a Marine, came back, and continued to serve. Huxholt has taken that service to an extreme, Darby said, noting that the veteran is dedicated to serving other veterans. In addition to being in charge of the Legion Honor Guard, Huxholt is a member of the Major Kenneth D. Bailey Detachment 824 of the Marine Corps League, Legion, past commander, and now a trustee. The 40 and 8 and Second Church of Christ. During the trip, he was amazed at the outpouring of support for the veterans. When the group arrived at Ronald Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C., he could hear clapping and cheering while the vets were coming down the ramp. An announcement had been made in the airport that an honor flight had arrived, and people came from across the terminal to welcome them. It kind of chokes you up, he said. People were courteous to the veterans everywhere they went. They received the same reception when the group returned to the Abraham Lincoln Airport in Springfield. Although the flight was 4 hours late, the honor flight should have landed at 9:30 p.m. instead of 1:30 a.m., hundreds of people were holding signs, waving flags, and shaking hands. It was unreal how many people were there to greet us, Huxholt recalled, saying that the crowd included pageant royalty, families, Patriot Guard members, and others. Huxholt also was amazed at the exhibits in the Air and Space Museum and was impressed with the Changing of the Guard ceremony at Arlington Cemetery. Huxholt had been to the Vietnam War Memorial in the past and had found the names of two buddies who died in the war. One buddy, in the infantry, died in a plane crash on his way to China for rest and recreation. The other was killed in action. It was his first visit to the World War II memorial, and he was amused at the Kilroy was here drawings on the wall. Huxholt served in the air wing of the Marine Corps and was discharged when he was 20. Several relatives have served in the military. Upon his discharge, Huxholt lived in the Decatur area and worked for Firestone. When he moved to Danville in 1972, he had a job with a water softener company and later propane gas. He works with a fertilizer company in State Line, Indiana. He and his wife, Sue, live in Danville. The next article is entitled, Former Danville Man Killed in Auto Race, from the Associated Press. Bowmanville, Ontario. Jeff Green, the president of two Peoria automobile dealerships and a former Danville resident, is dead after he lost control of his race car and crashed during a race at a track in Canada. Durham Regional Police say the crash happened during a Formula 5000 race at the Canadian Tire Motorsport Park in Bowmanville, Ontario, on Saturday afternoon. Police say 61-year-old Green was racing at the track outside Toronto when he lost control of his 1972 Lola T300 race car while turning a corner and smashed into a wall. They say he was extricated from the car, but was pronounced dead once he arrived at a local hospital. The Peoria Journal-Star reports that Green was president of two Peoria dealerships, Green Ford and Green Chevrolet. And turning to the obituaries for Tuesday, June 19th, 2018, our first is for Glenn Meeker. Glenn Edward Meeker left this earth on Friday, June 15th, 2018, after a long, hard battle with declining health. A gathering of friends will take place from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, June 20th, at the Tilton Community Center at 612 West 5th Street in Tilton. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, charitable donations may be made to the American Diabetes Association to help improve the lives of people affected by the disease. Rortvet Funeral Services and Crematory in Tilton is assisting the family. June Lane. June Lane, 91, of Danville, Illinois, passed away at 8:55 a.m. Sunday, June 10, 2018, at the Hawthorne Inn in Danville. Private family services were held. Burial at Spring Hill Cemetery, Danville. Robison Chapel, Catlin, Illinois, handled the arrangements. Michael Macris. Michael A. Macris of Rockford, Illinois, died June 15, 2018, at Sunrise Memory Care in Schaumburg, Illinois. Mike had been a resident under their wonderful care for a number of years, and after a long, heroic struggle with early-onset Alzheimer's disease, has rejoined our Lord. A visitation will begin at 4 p.m. Monday, June 25th, at the Rockford Country Club, 2500 Oxford Street, Rockford. A memorial to remember and celebrate Mike as a friend, husband, father, brother, uncle, and cousin will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, June 26th, at Fisher Chapel at Rockford University, 5050 East State Street, Rockford, immediately followed by a luncheon at the Rockford Country Club. The preference of Mike's family would be to suggest donations in his memory to Alzheimer's Association, or Evans Scholars Foundation, or American Legion Baseball Scholarship, or Brain Support Network. Arrangements by Olson Funeral and Cremation Services Limited. William Ritter. William Lewis Bill Ritter, 60, originally from the Rossville-Hoopston area, passed away on Wednesday, June 13, 2018, at his home in West Terre Haute, Indiana, with his wife by his side. In honor of Bill's wishes, cremation rites have been accorded. Memorial contributions may be made to Hospice of the Wabash Valley, 408th Avenue, Terre Haute, Indiana, 47808, or the American Heart Association. Charles Ingram, Jr. Charles F. Chuck Ingram, Jr., 60, of Indianola, passed away at 6:44 p.m. Friday, June 15, 2018, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, Danville. A celebration of Chuck's life will be at 1 p.m. Wednesday, June 20th, at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street, Georgetown. Pastor Robin Bolden will officiate. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday prior to his service at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Woodlawn Cemetery, Indianola. Memorial donations may be given to his family for final expenses. Joy Holy Cross. Joy Maxine Holy Cross, 96, of Covington, Indiana, entered into the presence of her Lord and Savior at 11:49 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Saturday, June 16, 2018, at St. Vincent Hospital in Williamsport, Indiana. The family will receive friends from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, June 22, at First Assembly of God Church, 5th Street, in Covington. A homegoing celebration will commence at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 23, at the church, with Pastor Bob Fairchild officiating. Interment will be at Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. Memorials may be made to the First Assembly of God Church. And also today, from the front page of the News Gazette, we have an article entitled, Oakwood Hall of Fame, It's Time to Shine, by Colin Legas. Oakwood. It was a challenge for Darren Fletcher to cast his gaze upon the plaque he received Monday evening. Pictured on it were the former University of Illinois and Major League catcher, along with late grandfather Glenn, late father Tom, and son Casey. The imagery was a token of appreciation for the first family of Oakwood baseball. "I just lost my dad. Dad just passed away 6 weeks ago," Darren Fletcher said. "So it's still pretty raw for me." The reason for this gesture gave Fletcher reason to smile, though. On Monday, he was recognized as one of three former Oakwood High School Comets who will make up the institution's inaugural Wall of Fame class. He's joined by former Chicago Bears offensive guard Cameron Lee and professional dirt track stock car driver Bobby Pierce. There were naturals that needed to be in that wall, and these three are obviously a natural that nobody could argue with, said Deanna Witzel, who pitched the concept to Oakwood Mayor Clayton Woodard. "There's the importance of giving kids in our community something to look forward to, and somebody to look up to," Woodard said. Monday's event initially started as a meet and greet for fans of Fletcher, Lee, and Pierce at the Oakwood McDonald's, one of six owned by Deanna and Don Witzel. The trio signed autographs, posed for photos, and raised funds for the Comets Baseball Diamonds Improvement. But about halfway through, the gathering turned into something even more memorable. That was twice as true for Fletcher. "Putting my name on the field is a neat thing," the 51-year-old said. "I played there 4 years in high school and watched a lot of different people coming in and going out of there." Both Lee and Pierce were shocked to garner the Wall of Fame honor. "To see a plaque like that, that's honestly something I can say I didn't expect," said Lee, a 24-year-old NFL free agent. "To see the picture and see the nice words, that's awesome." "To be included in that, man," Pierce added, "if you're a younger kid growing up in the same town, it really gives you that incentive and everything that you know that you can grow to be that someday." The physical Wall of Fame will be constructed at Oakwood Park alongside the Comets baseball field. Present and future plaques will be featured both on that wall and within the Village McDonald's. And now we have an article from syndicated columnist Froma Harrop entitled, GOP Doesn't Want to Fix Immigration. President Trump and the Republican leadership have made clear that they have no intention of repairing our chaotic immigration system. Why not? Because illegal immigration is a problem that bothers most Americans. Fix it, and all these politicians have are tax cuts for the rich, environmental degradation, soaring deficits, and the loss of health care. As a campaigner, Trump learned that when audience passion flagged, he could demand a wall with Mexico and his folks would jump to their feet. The week that America went into convulsions over Trump's racist vulgarities about certain immigrants is a week we'll never get back again. But it did cancel white right-wing displeasure over his seemingly constructive comments on immigration reform a few days earlier. "Is Trump a racist?" the TV commentators kept asking. He said racially disgusting things as a candidate and again as president. Asking whether he's a racist deep in his cheesecloth soul is a pointless exercise. Trump shows all appearances of not playing with a full deck, despite a doctor's report of good cognitive health. It really doesn't matter much whether he is crazy or just acts crazy. But with his promises to protect working people breaking like fine crystal dropped from the Trump Tower's 26th floor, his policy deck has become quite thin. Illegal immigration remains one of the few potent cards he has to play. Why take it out of play by solving the problem? This thinking did not begin with Trump. In 2013, the U.S. Senate passed comprehensive immigration reform in a bipartisan vote. It would have legalized the status of most undocumented immigrants while putting teeth in enforcement going forward. There were enough supportive Democrats and Republicans to pass the reform in the House as well, but then Speaker John Boehner didn't put it up for a vote. Passage would have made some hotheads in this Republican Party caucus unhappy. Some foes of comprehensive reform pointed to the 1986 immigration deal as the reason they couldn't support that one. Their reason was baloney. True, the law enacted in 1986 gave amnesty to millions without stopping the flow of more undocumented workers. Its big flaw was letting employers accept documents that merely looked good as ID for hiring. An explosion of fake Social Security cards and other documents greatly weakened the ability to enforce the ban on employing those here illegally. The 2013 legislation would have closed that loophole. It would have required companies to use E-Verify, a secure database, to determine every job applicant's right to work in the United States. That would have made all the difference in hiring practices and the ability of government to enforce the law. Had the reform passed in 2013, America would now be in its fifth year of mandatory E-Verify. Instead, we have a law that still lets even poorly counterfeited documents become tickets to employment. The numbers on illegal immigration, falling since the Obama administration, would probably be smaller still had the 2013 reform passed. And those brought here illegally as children would be enjoying a secure life as Americans. But Trump and many Republicans apparently see value in periodically threatening to deport those innocents. They're useful as a political plaything. As for Democrats, they would make a big mistake in underestimating the public's hunger for an orderly immigration program. Polls show that Americans want a program based on respect for the immigrants themselves and for the laws designed to protect U.S. workers from unfair competition. If Democrats make clear that they are on board with both kinds of respect, they'll be fine. Trump is grasping his one powerful card with both hands. Democrats should not help him. And finally today, we have from the Commercial News Community Briefs the following. Danville, volunteers sought. Balloons over Vermilion seeks volunteers to help with the 2018 festival, July 13th and 14th, at the Vermilion Regional Airport. There are a variety of shifts and positions to be filled. Volunteers can sign up online at balloonsoververmilion.com and click the menu, then the volunteer tab. That links to signup.com, which has listings of each job available per shift with brief descriptions and how many positions remain to be filled. Some areas require volunteers to walk and stand for the entire shift. For information, call Volunteer Coordinator Andrea Calamari at 217-304-0718 or Andrea C543 at comcast.net. Volunteers receive free admission on the day of their shift, plus volunteers will be entered to win prizes. This has been the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. My name is Greg, and I've enjoyed reading for you. I hope you have a great day.